Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome is all about the God who reveals his power and grace through the good news of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, the jewel at the center of this letter, is full of assurance about the love of God. I've been preaching a bit of a mini-series on Romans 8, and we will conclude that today. And Pastor Duane's wonderful and moving message last week with the Old Testament promise of God saying over and over, "I will be with you," resonates so well with what we read in Romans 8. Romans 8 begins with the assurance that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And even in times of trouble, the Spirit comes alongside to encourage us, even groan with us, and transform our suffering to glory. I'll begin now with some of the verses that we read last week, beginning at verse 26 of Romans 8, which is on page 1755, and I'll read to the end of the chapter. Verse 28. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, after a meeting, I was talking with someone in the parking lot, and I saw this cloud, and I took a picture because it reminded me of hands, and it reminded me that our future is in God's hands, and even now, in the midst of everything, we are held by the love of Christ. For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. This message from Paul is intended to be a word of assurance for those who have been called by God. God loves us and assures us of his good purposes. In the chaos and trouble that surrounds us and is within us, God desires to bring order and meaning. God works for the good of those who love him. God works all things together for your good. Doesn't mean that all things are good, and no one ought to claim that all things are good, but the promise is that all things, even the bad things, will work together for those who are called according to God's purpose. And this working together doesn't just happen by happenstance. God is the one who is working through all things, bringing his redeeming work even to those things that are hard and broken. So Some theologians describe verses 29 and 30 of Romans 8 as the golden chain of redemption. Each verb is linked to the other verbs by a common subject, namely God. Those whom God foreknew, he predestined. Those God predestined, he called. Those God called, he justified. Those God justified, he glorified. In this chain, God knows us. God chooses, God calls, God brings us into right relationship and helps us to live more fully as a child of God, and God finally leads us to glory. And this golden chain is strong. It holds us, not as slaves, but as children, securely held by God, anchored to the rock of our salvation. God is the main actor in the whole story of redemption. And in all of this, God is the one who keeps the promise of verse 28. The powerful God who loves us for all eternity is the one who is working all things together for our good. This is not necessarily the good we choose. Things don't always work the way we want, or even when we think we know what is best. God is working according to his own plans and conforming us to the image of Christ. So in that chain, we are being changed, transformed, becoming who God intends us to be. God uses all things to increase our faith, to build our character, to strengthen our relationship with him and with others, and to equip us to be witnesses to God's love for all his children, for we are already being glorified in Christ. And so now we come to the last section of this amazing chapter, and it begins with seven questions leading to profound answers. First, what then shall we say in response to all these things we've already heard in Romans 8 and the preceding chapters? He's referring to what he's written about Jesus, about the cross, about resurrection, about God's love for us and our salvation. And these things, the promises that God works for good, that God is bringing glory, what can we say in response to all that? How about hallelujah, thanks be to God? He doesn't answer the question yet. He goes to the next question. If God is for us, who can be against us? Again, we're thinking, well, it does seem that many things do rise up against us. The evil one causes so much trouble in the world. Yet if God is for us, is there anyone or anything with greater power than God's protection? And then the next question, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? I believe he will. God provides us and God saves us from our sin. But still no answer yet. Paul continues to the next question. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Well, probably not anyone. Not any person, at least, because it is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? And here we have an answer. Who condemns? No one. No one, because Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Here we are reminded of the work that Jesus has already accomplished. By his death, he took the judgment, the condemnation for our sin, so that now no person has the authority to condemn us. And now that Jesus has been raised to life, his continuing work is to constantly intercede for us at the right hand of God. Jesus is interceding for us right along with the Spirit, whose groaning we heard about a couple of weeks ago. And have you noticed in these questions how much of this is for us? God is for us. God gave up his Son for us. Christ is interceding for us. And now the final two questions, which are connected. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Paul here is naming all the things that he has experienced. We read about them in his other letters and in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Nowadays, our experiences are different from Paul's. We face troubles too in our relationships, in bullying, in the neighborhood, abuse or addiction, hardship at work, difficulty paying our bills, questions about gender identity and attraction, injury or cancer or infertility, Alzheimer's disease, mental health issues, pain, our list could go on. And what about persecution? I often think we aren't really persecuted, at least not in the same way as Christians in other parts of the world, where people may lose their jobs or reputations or significant relationships or even their lives because of what they say about God and about how they live as followers of Jesus Christ. Yet now, maybe even we at Neyland have an inkling of what it means to be targeted because of the ways we try to live out our faith and speak of the wideness of God's grace and loving embrace. Maybe some of our jobs are at risk and our relationships change. And there is more. Floods and fires and fierce winds, the effects of climate change. Homelessness and immigration and starvation are real challenges, even in our community. There can even be danger and violence, more likely from a gun than a sword. And then Paul quotes Psalm 44 to remind us that in this life, people will face affliction. And in his time, Christian believers especially were seen as nothing more than animals to be sacrificed. But then let's go back to that question. Shall any of these things, trouble, hardship, persecution, danger, shall any of these things separate us from the love of Christ? And the conclusive answer, with clarity, confidence, and certainty, is no. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul continues, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I was tempted to just keep reading this over and over for my message today because it's so powerful. We want it to sink in and stick with you. We'll just review some of these things. Paul reminds us that the love of God equips us to be conquerors. Now, maybe that sounds too militaristic for the peacekeepers among us. Yet we do face many battles, don't we? Within our own souls and bodies and from outside forces. And Jesus Christ does give us the victory in all these things. And then Paul begins a new list, in a way beginning with the end of his previous list, which was danger or sword. He starts with death. Many of us have lost someone very dear to us, whether recently or a long while ago, and the grief of their absence can still bring a sting of tears to our eyes. Death parts us from our loved ones, But death does not separate us from the love of God. Even when we face our own death, we will be with God. Neither death nor life. Even if there's a lot in our lives that could come between us and God, and you might ponder those things about yourself. Not angels nor demons, though many of us don't think much about spiritual beings, they are real. And sometimes we must do battle. We must wrestle with demonic power. Neither the present nor the future, the concerns that occupy our minds today and our hopes or fears for the future, these things can hinder our relationship with God. Sometimes it's self-doubt, and sometimes it's self-reliance. Too many accomplishments or too many failures. Too many troubles or too much luxury as we look to the forward or are stuck in the present. None of this can separate us from God's love. Nor any powers. There are many kinds of power. Satan's power and the evil that is at work in the world causes us to feel the stain of sin and brokenness almost all the time. People have power too. The authority of our teachers or our bosses, kings and politicians, court systems and synods. There's also a kind of power that is within each of us. And power can be abused. Yet not any of these powers can separate us from Him who loves us. Neither height nor depth, whether our greatest joys or deepest fears, our highest accomplishment or lowest fall, or perhaps height and depth are spatial, the stars in the courses in the deeps of the ocean which proclaim Him divine. The splendor of God's creation often points us to God, yet it can point some people away from God. Can any of this, any of it, rupture our relationship with the God who loves us? No. Paul assures us not a single thing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is secure in Christ Jesus our Lord. Stan Mast calls these our bedrock certainties. God works all things for the good of those who love Him. God is for us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reason for our certainty is that God makes His love personal and real. God became human and died on a cross out of love for His creation. So Jesus Christ our Lord is the sure guarantee that God is for us and nothing can separate us from His love. We look at this passage today in the aftermath of Synod 2024. And because of that, maybe Romans 8 speaks to us in new ways. When you wonder about a certain phrase in the catechism, or even have questions about Scripture, who is it that condemns? No one. When you feel overwhelmed by the chaos, remember, we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. When those in power made decisions that don't allow room for a church like ours to remain in the denomination that has been our home, even they cannot separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And while the mess of Synod is still rolling around in our heads and hearts, there is so much more that is going on in each of our lives. So much. You may be walking through a valley and trouble, or Even the shadow of death looms large. But nothing can separate you from God's love. You may be waiting for the powers that be to make a decision that could change your life. And nothing can tear us away or cast us out. We are held, tethered, chained by God's redeeming love. One of the cadets mentioned Henry Nouwen and the many voices that you may be listening to. But remember the voice of God. And remember that God's promises are sure. God says, I will be with you. Paul reminds us, God is for us. And nothing can separate us from God's love. In this season, we all together and each of us individually experience many challenges. I encourage you to take time to reflect on the highs and lows in your own lives. Hold them together in tension, the anger and fear and sadness that is real and true, and the confidence and hope we experience in Christ. Name the hard things. Remember what you have treasured that will never be quite the same. Share them. Share them with a friend or a family member. And then remind each other that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. You are held securely in the hands of the God who loves us. And nothing can separate you from that love. Let's pray. O holy and loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you know our hearts, you know our minds, you know our troubles and our joys. And we thank you that we can bring it all to you. And we ask you to remind us that we belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Assure us that nothing will ever separate us from his love, and make us always, always ready to live for you. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who loves us. Amen.